Welcome to the Furry Hell.
Not had nearly enough beer for that.
I was going to say, it sounded like you were ramping for Welcome to Night Vale.
Welcome to Not Vale.
Oh, that's exactly what I thought.
Use that as a start in.
I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Halfwit.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And this is episode 317. Defenestration. So, as we were setting things up, we did a reorganization in my office a little bit, so we have...
That's okay. Everybody thinks that's my fur name when I tell it to them anyways.
Yeah, you know, it's not a common name. We have Halfwit here and had to reorganize some stuff and nearly pitched myself out the window when I knelt on my chair, my office chair, and it tilted backwards. Thankfully, I did not, because that would have made this week's episode... a bit short and very full of blood.
And a quick trip to the ER.
Yeah, and I just finished paying off that ER bill of mine from November. So let's not do that.
Yeah.
You download the episode, you just hear, aye! And then that's the end of it.
A bit short and very full of blood. Much like a middle school horror anime star.
Mm. Saverin died on the way back to his home planet. We return...
Fenectron.
I suppose any fall is technically the way back to your home planet.
Yeah.
Or is it?
No. Straight to hell.
It's your home planet, Fort Worth.
Oh, man, I don't want to go live there. I like Carrollton. It's nice enough.
It's less stabby.
Yeah, it's a bit less stabby. So, yeah, it has been another week. There's four of us here this week. Not only do we have Shiva, who has been an infrequent guest because she's been so busy lately... We also have Halfwit.
Halfwit?
This episode is now 50-50. Oh, my God.
Oh, my word.
We have 50% more boobs than usual.
Ben, don't we have 100% more boobs than usual, or does one of you have something I don't know about?
Well, you know, I will say, since I've lost weight, I do have a lot smaller pair of boobs.
I've got my hairy cleavage.
Oh, my God.
Put that away.
So, welcome to the Old Furry Podcast. We're all old here.
Some of us are younger and tender.
And it was funny because I got a comment this week.
The old gray mer.
On Telegram. That, like, you know, I really like listening to you guys' show. It's so chill. It's low energy. It's nice. It's relaxed. I'm like, all right, cool.
That's what happens when you age.
Yeah. We're not screaming and reacting to... videos on YouTube and making fools of ourselves.
Last part may be a bit of a stretch.
Well, yeah, the fools of ourselves part, that actually comes with the territory.
Yeah, it comes on the territory.
Yep. Yeah. But has there really been anything much in the way of, like, furry news in the last week?
Not that
I don't
I know
think of.
Of
anything. I mean, no. FA is not so much of a trash fire anymore, and... Actually, no, we did, you know, we did talk last week about
You're
how...
like, actually, no, it is. I thought that's where you were going to go.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it is kind of a trash fire. I mean, you just recently got access back to your
account. I did, yeah. That's the hot take right now. Yeah. I got access to my
account
again.
So you can be like, oh, look, I can access my account and have it see that there's, like, 17,000 submissions I haven't looked at.
And I can't nuke.
Nope, you can't nuke them. That's fun. What was funny, though, is that the nuke button is not base. It's just the nuke button's disabled.
Yeah.
Like, I had literally one submission at one point because I had cycled through the small amount that I had, cleared them all out because you can invert selection and delete.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have one left, and I'm like, I wonder, do they check the number of submissions? No, just anytime you hit the nuke button, it's like, yeah. It's been stabled, sorry.
Yeah,
I can't nuke this one thing. I can nuke all your watches and journals and stuff, but so...
Oh, you can? I didn't know that. I've just
been
select-alling on the watches and faves and stuff.
Well, last week we discussed that we had the whole Furry Network Cub thing. And lo and behold, banned it literally the day before the episode went live.
Yes.
Because there's a slight delay in us posting the episode. It's generally like, it goes up immediately for Patreons and like a day later for everybody else. It's like, we posted it, the Patreon folks heard our hot take before it happened, then everyone else is like, oh god, not Cast, why are you guys so behind the curve? They did it yesterday! Despite the fact that we recorded on Thursday.
One day slide into irrelevancy.
Yeah, well.
We need to catch up with the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah,
just podcast constantly.
Just wait till we get our webcams in here. We have, like, What we'll do is we'll hire somebody like on TMZ, and they'll have a Steadicam with the motion thing turned off. So they just zoom in constantly and like wiggle around. And I'm making hand motions because this is great for a podcast. But, you know, if you've seen TMZ and how they look like they gave Michael J. Fox a Steadicam and told go at it, you know, it's...
I prefer the definition that someone once made of Blair Witch Project, which is duct tape the camera to the head of an angry harbor seal.
Nice.
I forget who that was.
Well, I was going to say something. I forgot what it was. It wasn't relevant. We can cut this part out.
That's implying I edit this. Actually, I've been doing a little bit of editing, making us sound a little bit smarter, cutting out the ums and ahs and...
Oh, you're actually doing editing? Breaths.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, my God.
We're going legit. It's only taken us 300 plus episodes to do so, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, again, I do so much editing, it's really not that big a deal to go through and be like, oh, Fuzz repeated himself twice there. Well, I'm going to take one out so that he doesn't sound silly. I ummed and ahed a couple times. I use bridging words, and sometimes I just, like... pause and have to think of what I'm saying next, and that's this big gap in the audio. I fix that shit.
There was, because
we're professionals. And there was a knock at the door.
There was a week, it was just Savrin and I, and we literally had like a 15-second part where the two of us, for some fucking reason,
we got like,
started looking at our phones. Like, we had been looking at something we were going to talk about, and then we just sort of both fell into the tubes. And,
yeah.
And there's, like, 15 seconds of dead air, and then, like, and we're like, okay, so, we should really talk. So,
have special super secret guest who's not actually a guest, but he gets to sit in on this live recording. We have a guest in the studio who's not actually on there. He's an audience. We have an audience.
You poor, poor soul.
Welcome to my furry universe.
So have you guys saw that HavenCon's opening up for year 3?
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. I was actually going to announce that. They're already at, what, 40%?
60%. Already 60.
In like 3 days or
yeah, that's like that. So much better than
so
last year.
So is that their initial round of crowdfunding or just like they have a set goal they need to start up?
I'm not
it
sure.
It is apparently $15,000 to secure the venue. And I'm
Jesus
not,
Christ.
And I'm not sure if that's going to cover the whole con or whether they'll be doing additional bonus shit later in the year.
So I'm just going to put it out there. I don't know if Haven just sucks at negotiating, but last year for my con, I paid $13,000 for everything, including the room nights we used. So I don't know what he's doing down there in Austin, if Austin is just full of awful, evil, greedy hotels. I have no idea how expensive it gets
to be. Also, cost of living in general gets pretty insane.
Like, I see those numbers and I'm like, Jesus Christ, son. And I see, like, that Anime Overload that's down there at that same crappy Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. I don't know.
I think we need to have a serious talk for real, real. I mean, Austin's nice, but you're paying a lot more for what you get. That's for, like, a Devil Tree. You know, not even, like...
Not a Crown Plaza.
Yeah.
And the Crown Plaza is like next door. And it's just, I mean, HavenCon is a neat event. We want it to succeed. Don't get us wrong. But it is, I really feel that they're overpaying a lot for that.
Just I'd have to see like their contracts and see what they get for that to be able to give them a, you can do better, or if they're actually working with what their market offers. So.
They should really talk to that group that handles negotiation for small.
Yeah, what's that one called?
I'd have to look at my email. It's some. Yeah, because it's a bunch of last names.
I keep wanting to call it Myers-Briggs, but that's a personality test.
It's the personality test. But yeah. we're going to be doing that with VS in the near term because we're one of the few cons that doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't had to negotiate a new contract
but
in a
while. Eventually, we will need to do that.
Kneecap some hotel managers.
You know, just wait, Fuzz, till we're down there at the. What is the. Hilton or whatever downtown next to the Plaza of the Americas?
Sheraton, but
Sheraton, yeah. Yeah, just wait till we're down there. We will be the next Anthrocon. Just you fuckers wait.
Nah, that's BLFC.
That's BLFC. And they have hookers and blow.
Right, yeah. No.
And yeah, blackjack.
Yeah.
Blackjack and hookers. Not hookers and blow.
I guess someone said they were going to start their own con with blackjack and hookers.
And it's in a Reno.
And it's there. Yeah,
it's appropriately located for both of those things.
They're eventually going to eclipse AC because they are rising hard and fast. Well, you guys are doing AC this year, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can not do AC.
No. Yeah. I have a countdown app on my phone. It's 28 days to Anthrocon.
So you and Tyrion and Buck are going. Are you going to AC?
That would be a very interesting remake of 28 Days Later. I haven't heard of
anybody else locally going besides, like, you, and you're a vendor, so...
Yeah, and, like, Zia and Ajax, our other table assistants, are going.
Yeah, but that's the kind of your whole business crew going.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of anybody going just for the funsies around locally.
I'm not sure, really.
Well, I mean... I would go. I have a perfectly fine con going, time going, but most of the times I've been going, to go
booth babe.
Do booth babe with you, Fuzz. You haven't needed me to do that for a while, so just like,
Yeah, we, like, AC is like the one con we don't need additional assistance, because we're at, we've already got like 4 or 5 people, and we swap out and you stuff have, like that.
I mean, it's furry mecca, so.
Yeah,
there's already so many people going. It's more like, Like Mephit, I can use some help. Halfwit, are you going to Mephit?
We don't have our rest of the year plans as far as cons go set, because we're still kind of figuring out what we're doing to replace Oplicon.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's been our go-to for years upon years.
Well, yeah. Like, Mephit's, like I said, Noxie's guest this year, so that's my main driving reason to go is Noxie's guest. And
Rama would be like, what about?
Well, Rama knows. I've been kind of on the hedge on going back to Mephit for a couple of years. And Rama.
I said, Kenpachi Rama-sama.
Why don't you do your math homework? It's a reference to... Now you fucked up.
This is going over my head, and I do not understand.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry you're not in on the jokes that us cool kids have.
Is this phony related again?
Kind of.
Yes.
Sort of, but not really.
No.
Like
it was a video, though.
The Kenpachi Rama-sama thing is a...
two best friends play.
Two best friends played. It's basically they're playing this game and they're doing commentary
on it. It's Persona 3.
And then somebody did two best sisters play, where they replaced all the imagery with the pony characters, and they actually got really creative, I thought, with some of the animation and stuff like that.
They only
like
did a few of them because they are incredibly time-consuming.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're really funny. So if you're bored, check them out.
What was that other game where you have to throw apples at Pokemon?
Pokemon Snap.
Oh, yeah.
And they're throwing iMacs and iPods and stuff.
What?
Yeah.
I got to throw apples.
And so they're throwing keyboards, iPods, G5 Max, G4 Max.
Oh.
It was funny. Beyond that, what else? I mean, it's just... You know, I got Akon this weekend. That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. So my big deal is... Woo! It's Fan Expo weekend.
Get to go fangasm over Doctor Who, dude.
I'm meeting Peter Capaldi tomorrow. I'm going to have to... Hopefully not on him. I'll do that later.
I was going to mention, Peter Capaldi is slowly growing on me. I'm like a season and a half behind, so...
No, Saverin's like 3 seasons behind on Doctor Who.
I haven't seen any of Capaldi.
So it's... Capaldi is there, and... Clara and Missy are all at this con. And
I do love Missy.
And they're doing a special Doctor Who experience thing tomorrow night at 7, where it's like, this is like their first big con in the States, basically. And so they're going to do a big Q&A event, and I paid the extra, the VIP thing or whatever, to have a seat near the front. But there's also, it's like a backstage pass thing that includes a meet and greet and a photo and autograph. So, of course, I have to have Capaldi hold Fez, my badger. And also, one of the other guests there is Arthur Darvill, who played Rory. And I think he's there primarily to promote Legends of Tomorrow, where he's the main character.
I have not seen any of that. Is it out yet? Or
About a half season of it is on Hulu.
Okay.
With Hulu, it seems that some shows, like, they drop off the early parts of the season, so like everything before the mid-season break is gone. But I picked it up just fine from like episode 7 through the end or something like that. But he's the main character in that, and of course we have a fox called Rory, so I want to get a picture of Rory with Rory.
I thought you had mentioned should do that by now.
No, no, I have not met Arthur Darvill at a con before. There was one. Okay, Ken, not to bring the tone of the show completely down, but he was at a con in Orlando, but it was like 2 weeks after my mom had died. So I was kind of like completely busy mourning, cleaning her house, planning the memorial ceremony. And then I had to drive home from Florida. Part of me was like, should I detour to Orlando? Do I really feel like doing that right now?
That'd be a
hell of a
detour.
Or it's not. It's 2 hours down and 2 hours back up to, but from Jacksonville. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that's kind of a draining time.
Yeah, yeah. And a big part of me was just, I'd also been away from home for like 6 weeks at that point. So I was just like, I just want to get home. But I haven't met Amy either. Mm. So I haven't met Amy or Rory. So at least I'll meet Rory. I've met Matt Smith, though. Mm-hmm. So I've got a picture of the, of 11 with the Badger. And the Badger has the fez on. So Capaldi will be my sixth doctor then. So I'm actually quite surprised. I've met quite a few of them. And three of them have already passed away. I don't hold out a whole lot of hope for meeting Tom Baker because he's already like 83 and he doesn't really do international travel.
So you'd have to go
at this point. Yeah, so I'd have to go find him at a UK con, which even that is rare now.
Yeah, they don't really do. There's not a ton of cons in the UK.
No, there are a few Doctor Who ones, but he just doesn't go to a lot of them. He's been going to some of the Big Finish days. Big Finish, the audio adventure company, do. Big Finish Day is like a convention event where they get a lot of their actors together. So
you just need to get Karen to let you do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just have to budget and figure it out.
Sell a kidney.
And then it's Eccleston and Tennant I would need to meet.
Those are at least possible.
Yeah.
Yep. They're still alive and relatively young, so Eccleston would have to, like, swallow his pride and start going to Doctor Who conventions.
Yeah, Eccleston fucked up.
And I honestly don't know why Tennant hasn't been doing.
Because he's been doing a lot of other stuff.
He's been doing a lot of other things.
I think he's also trying to break the association with him just being 10. Because.
But there's a lot of money in that. Like,
yeah, but I think he wants to do other things
besides
10.
He wants to focus
10.
On acting in general instead of being that character.
Well, he is, he's a massive Doctor Who fan. So that's part of it is kind of like, wouldn't you be totally stoked to go to a con as the doctor and be like, because I'm sure he's been to cons
get
as a fan.
Get into briefing character arguments with Peter Capaldi.
But yeah, Eccleston, when he dropped Doctor Who, to be like, I'm going to be an actor. And he was in like three terrible things.
See, that's the thing is that.
Lol.
I've heard that story before, but like he's actually gone on record after that as saying like he had a real problem with the filming of Doctor Who. Like there was like, it was like a very high pressure and sometimes negative set, or like a director was like bullying a PA or a cameraman or something like that, and it was like a very negative environment, and he was like, this is really bullshit and I don't want any part of it. Yeah, and that's why he didn't want to come back for the 50th. But and then also consider that like British actors are probably in a shitload of shit in Britain that we never see or hear about. And also, theater is a much bigger thing than it is in the States. In the States, it's like, oh, you're a real actor if you're into movies. And if you're into theater,
they're like, well, get my cappuccino, bitch.
Right. Yeah. And that's the attitude in America. But in Britain, like, yeah, the Tennant's decision to leave Doctor Who to be in Hamlet was like totally understandable to Brits because it's
a
fucking
big deal.
And it was at the Royal Shakespeare Society. And, yeah.
It's more of their culture.
Yeah.
I mean, Royal Shakespeare Society is just, it is kind of the be all and end all.
And it was also the opportunity to act opposite Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize exactly how much different fandoms have started meaning to me until my favorite actor passed away. And and why am I crying for a person I've never met for like 2 weeks?
Who is this?
Alan Rickman.
Oh, yeah.
Which finally kind of wrapped up last week when Through the Looking Glass came out.
Oh, was he in that?
Very briefly, the role of the, well, the butterfly now, the caterpillar.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it. But...
I didn't know that movie was even out.
Yeah, it just opened last week. Got his ass kicked by Zootopia.
Well, wait, really? Like
it was a it was
it was also it was opposite kind of X-Men too.
Yeah.
I went to it specifically because of that. It turned out better, being better than I'd expected. It's like one of the first two things I've ever liked Sacha Baron Cohen in.
That's because it's not a Sacha Baron Cohen movie.
Yeah,
I didn't even know he was in it.
The first 30 minutes are going to annoy you, but it picks up after that.
Well, like. Only thing that I was like, oh, Alice through the Looking Glass, it got added to Disney Crossy Road.
And it's also got, Pink did a single for it.
Oh.
She did Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit.
Let's see.
Which is one of my favorite.
Yeah, Alice songs. Through the Looking Glass has a 30 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's believable.
And X-Men Apocalypse is a 48.
I saw it. For Christmas, Sarah's parents gave us $300 in gift cards to a theater. We don't usually go to AMC's. They gave us $300 to it, and it's like,
And the thing
and
is...
And so we went and we spent that, and I'm glad I didn't pay for it. It really wasn't much to write home about.
Zootopia. Well,
don't spoil it for me, because I haven't seen it yet. But
the X-Men, or...?
I haven't seen X-Men or Civil War. Mm-hmm.
Civil War is good. X-Men's okay. It's not bad. It's just...
According to the Rotten Tomatoes, Utopia is still the 10th best movie in the box office with 800,000.
Which it deserves.
Yeah. It's cute. It's pretty.
It's crossed a billion.
Oh, it has officially crossed a billion?
I'm pretty sure it's crossed a billion, and it's beaten Lion King and Minions.
Wow.
Nice.
So, fuck Minions. But it's not going to get much further. But still, you know, this little movie that Disney didn't have a lot of faith in...
Yeah, it's just weird.
I blew the doors off.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to fuck the bunny.
That's what it is, yeah.
And or the fox. Or both at the same time. ¿Por qué no la dos?
That got the audience snickering.
It's funnier because it's Spanish.
And I probably mispronounced it, but that's okay. I can't word.
You have problems with English? I thought that was me.
Yep. You just rubbed off on me, which is kind of gross.
Oh, thank you.
If you're shedding didn't know that, everywhere. I was going to pick it up.
That explains the smell trail.
That's why I got that version of that pick and not the other.
Yeah,
I don't think he offered that for print.
He showed me a really hot picture.
Yeah.
It was great. Judy, one hashtag fuck the bunny.
Anyway. Oh, like literally right behind me. So
do you guys want to see some bunny?
I see some bunny pussy. There we go. This artist is Rata Pony. Look him up on E621. That's like their first non-pony thing they've done in a long ass time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh yes, please join the furry collective. Start drawing the bunny. Then it's you will start drawing other things.
I thought. Pony to furry was a pretty short hop, but now the pony...
bunny is a much shorter hop, especially if it's a Judy hop.
Now that there are a lot of them are starting to move to Zootopia fan art, I'm like, that's
that fucking reminds me,
shorter hop.
Hilarious Weaver comic I need to make a video off of.
Oh.
It's like the, what animal would I be in Zootopia? Oh, this is fun. Oh, an antelope.
Oh, yeah, you totally.
It's like, oh, shit, I just made a fursona. This is a furry. I'm a furry. Crap. And what's really funny is in the Zootopia threads, Weaver has been using the antelope character he made in the comic as his little, like, posting avatar.
Yeah.
Is that Thunder?
Probably.
Jeez.
Where, like, he'll do the little doodles and post them, and it's like him as the fucking antelope. Is Weaver's gone a furry.
Is he the Thunder, or your neighbors are racing across the apartment?
Well, yeah. Considering the weather here recently.
I think I think they left out, and they have two chihuahuas. I'm pretty sure they're not the ones thundering about.
Yeah, that would have been at least Greyhound, too.
Yeah.
That would be a chihuahua with superpowers.
Yeah, that's definitely Thunder.
That's Thunder. So, we're at about half an hour, so we should probably shift on to the email segment of the show.
Tangent.
Yeah, we're full of tangents. But, you know, as always...
As is any curve.
Damn, it's supposed to rain all weekend.
Yeah, man, yeah. I don't...
I am so tired of rain.
Tomorrow I am going to actually I actually have my friend Spaz here, who's our audience this week, is actually going to be helping me. So I'm going to be dropping his ass at the Gidor under the cover so he can, like, cart our shit in or stand there and wait for me. And I'm going to have to go park in, like, the remote lot and still pay $20 and have to walk, like, half a mile.
Where's this to?
For Akon.
Oh, you're going. I see.
Got my table. Got a sling.
Yeah.
A fucking panel on Friday or Saturday, 1:30 to 3, 90 minutes. But I've got dudes that are helping me. It's not like I'm doing it solo. I'm full of words, don't get me wrong, but putting me in front of a crowd by myself and it freeze up probably pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
So, emails. You can always email us at notcast@foxsurfers.com. You can go to our Tumblr and ask us asks via that, notcast.tumblr.com. Even send it anonymously. We don't bite. So we've got half dozen emails this week, including one titled Heil Kage, which I'm looking forward to getting to. And we should make sure that we end this episode with a good Heil Satan, just like good old last podcast on the left. So, you want to start us out, Fuzz?
Sure, I'll start off with the Ferdu.
I'm basically making it so that if we go you, Shiva, Halfwit, me, I'll get the one that's Jeeves' novel that he sent us.
Oh, he even says long in the subject line. Oh,
I'm sparing you, Shiva. You get to read the one about Kage being Hitler.
Oh,
or, I don't know. I'm just going by the headline.
Maybe not. Okay, so Ferdu 2016 Con Report. For those who don't know, Ferdu is a convention on the Gold Coast of Australia.
See, I saw people tweeting about that, and I was like, I couldn't remember where it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, are they in Australia? Are they in the UK? I don't know. Whatever. They're not.
They're not here, so they don't matter. It's basically they're like.
I've never heard of Ferdu. You know,
the US, us, the rest of the world, them.
Thanks, Fuzz.
And we actually had some books for sale at Ferdu.
That's right.
Because Jaffa Books.
And they're printed upside down.
That's right, yeah.
They have to be.
Good thing we use a local printer. Hey there, ears, woof, and chair. Sorry, the Australian Derg here. I wonder if a Derg is a...
It's a Derg.
Is it just Australian for dragon, or is it a separate species? So
there's a really funny Twitter, like, image meme going around.
Oh, yeah.
It's like...
Woof. Yeah.
Woof, snick, snip, Derg.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the fox was just like... No.
Hey there, ears, woof, and chair. Sorry, the Australian Derg here, back from my first con in 4 years, and I have to say I had a ball, even though they were upside down above my penis. It even started off
with a kangaroo.
Okay, he's a Derg. It even started off with a bang when B and the Fuzzle I was traveling up with met up with Pepper Coyote at the airport before traveling up. Turns out he was on the same flight as us. Who knew? So, a few drinks and sharing stories later, we were on our way. I got there on the day before the con to meet some friends I had made earlier in the year, and Night Zero Room Party was pretty crazy. It may have involved getting smashed and dropping a dildo from the 14th floor window.
That's like worse than dropping a penny. You just impale a dude. If it's not lubed, man, that's rough.
Anyway, to the actual con. It was in the beautiful surfer's paradise on the Gold Coast of Queensland, Australia, and literally a minute's walk from the beach. We had sun all weekend and fun times were had. Disappointingly, I didn't get to go to as much as I wanted to, as I was busy meeting people and hanging out, but I did catch the fursuit games, which were great. Seeing a pile of fursuits trying to do Twister was a laugh, and I managed to catch Pepper Coyote's AD show, which consisted of drinking and songs about dongs. I'm sure you know the one.
Da, 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 da.
Our theme song.
Yep.
No, not really. I also picked up a tale from someone in the den and sat in front of the furry bookstall for a while before picking something up. Hell if I remember, it's still packed away, but it was recommended to me. Okay. All in all, it was a great time. A great time was had, and I'm so sorry if this is a bit of all of text. This is like the shortest con report we've ever gotten. Don't worry about it. Sorry, the blue Aussie Derg. P.S. I actually typed Fox Stuffers. God damn it, Fuzz.
Nice.
I love our email address.
You know, if there was a adult pony podcast, they could totally use that song as their theme song. And then Pepper'd be like, knock that off. Like, oh.
Sorry.
Not my problem, though. All right. It's your turn, Shiva. Let's see what this email... Okay.
Mm, okay.
Be sure to read the subject line with gusto.
All right. Subject line is Hail Kage.
Hail! Kage! Hail! Kage!
Okay, so I only bring this up because of all the bullshit surrounding Kage with the first Sonos documentary. What the hell word is that?
Documentary.
I know. Documentary. And said story has become much funner in hindsight. So during Convergence 2015, during which Kage was an attendee and panelist, an observation was made that he had a habit of gesturing with his hands, specifically with his thumb and first two fingers curled as though grasping a wine glass, his ring finger and pinky extended. This so happens to be how he would imbibe in his beloved Riesling. It then became a running gag for the remainder of con that this was the Kage salute. Culminating with a charity auction when the head of security auctioned off the right to shave away his mustache for charity. Instead of removing it outright, the winner instead chose to shave off the ends and give him a Hitler stash. All pretense was then abandoned and the entire con mimicked Kage's salute in the form of a Heil to finish off the charity auction. I swear this is true. King, he says king regards. I think he means kind regards. A shit-stirring monotreme.
Nice. Yeah. You know, going back to that Fursonas review, it's got nearly 1,000 views, and that was actually really surprising. Because, I mean, again, we just put it out there for our listeners, our y'all, and it got a little bit further. People, I mean, we didn't, like, tweet it out there and be like, hey, Fursonas doc, go fuck yourself, or anything like that. Because we're not out to stir shit, but we are opinionated old farts, and we wanted people to know what we thought.
Click here are 10 reasons why Fursonas sucked ass.
Part 8 will surprise you. The response has, again, been pretty positive in our favor. I mean, there's a couple folks who are like, I disagree with this and that. But they're like, yeah, they are kind of mean to Kage. I mean, pretty much everybody's like, yeah, I disagree with you on this point. But, yeah, it's pretty mean to Kage. Like, even the people that disagree with some of our discussions are like, yeah, it's not very nice. All right, well, guess what? You get another... Ferdy.
Okie doke.
Crikey.
Hey, Notcast. I went to Furdu this past weekend, and it was pretty fun. My highlights were definitely buying the titles I didn't already own from the Jaffa Books table in the dealer's den, and meeting Pepper Coyote. This set of reviews seems pretty themed so far. I was a pretty cringeworthy fanboy every time I interacted with him, but his shows were great and really enjoyable, and I'm super glad I got a photo with him, as well as getting my copy of Blast Radius signed.
Nice.
Other than that, it was a pretty fun con, and my first panel went better than I expected, despite my nervousness at first. I had about 30 people or so attend, and surprisingly, I managed to talk on for most of the hour before noticing the time. Though I was a little crestfallen with the readership levels of attendees at first, though everyone seemed pretty eager at the end, which was my goal, and I think the last few copies of some titles I talked about were sold from the Jaffa Books table after my panel, because I saw a few people at the table afterwards.
Hi there, books.
Thanks for the advice, guys, and Jay Stoat, too, and the other staff at the table. Running a panel was definitely a humbling experience, and I look forward to doing one again next year if I can. The rest of the con was just spending time with friends. Forgive me, but my rendition of the fangirl noise would blow out the microphone, so I'm not going to read the screech. Also, I met Pepper Coyote, and he was so tall and awesome. Cheers, a short fennec fox, Rayfar.
Yay!
People having fun.
He is indeed a tall coyote.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was tweeting back and forth with somebody this last weekend, and they're like, oh, P.S. Pepper says hi. Like, apparently they were hanging out with him at Ferdy. And just, like, they were tweeting at me, and then he saw, oh, you're tweeting at Saffron. Yes! Hi!
Tell Saffron there's totally no cock like horse cock.
Yep. So... Now, I can't wait to see that, you know, it turns out also Jeeves hung out with Pepper Cody. He's actually in two places at the same time. Because this is a Confuzzled 2016 Con Report, which is from Confuzzled 2016 Con Report. Yay! Dear Notcasters. Well, I'd be like, I can hand it to Fuzz and you can read it in a Scottish accent, but then it'd take you way longer. For the second year in a row,
I should have read the other ones in an Australian accent. Cool, blimey, I bought some books.
Good day, mate. Good day, Notcast. Today I evaded Drop Bears long enough to bring you a missive from the colony. The prison colony. Australia. We're not all criminals here, just most of us. All right.
And our Australians are going to pack clock spiders and ship it to you.
Okay.
For murdering the language.
Yep. For the second year in a row, I survived the long trek over the wall and into the kingdom of Westeros to attend Confuddle 2016. On the way back, my transformation into a rabbit reached critical mass. And I'm now locked in this new form for what will hopefully be many years to come, but thankfully Rabbit Me is still able to write a con report for you.
And it's just not the same.
Your feet are still relatively large.
And he's got big ears.
Yep. But a very small, fluffy tail. Not the thick smack-a-dude with or balance thing. You'll have to get used to it. The convention this year took place in the Birmingham Hilton Metropole. I'm going to assume that
it's a very fashionable penis.
Oh, okay. Is that the glass dildo in downtown London?
Yeah.
All right. The hotel frequently hosts business conventions, so there's plenty of event space, but the corridors and bar lounge area themselves aren't huge, so space for general socializing and eating meals was at a premium. This year, however, one of the first things I noticed on arrival was that the shopping and dining complex being built next door was complete, providing a whole bunch of restaurants and bars for people to visit. I feel this helped a great deal, as dining within the hotel last year was one of my least favorite experiences of the convention. It was still rather cramped to sit at the bar at times, but it's easier to get cozy when sipping drinks and chatting with friends than when you're trying to balance a plate on your lap. Yeah, I imagine so. I arrived early the day before the con began after a 9-hour bus journey, sitting next to a man who muttered to himself and stared daggers at everyone except me, was at the hotel by noon that day.
He's a fucking faggot furry. He's good at a fucking con.
Being both early and man, a sponsor.
Take a look at my mangy, stanky fursuit. You're rubbing all over your body.
It's made of paper. Registration was super painless. Con swag, which included a hoodie, a coaster, papercraft figure of the con mascot, and an aluminum drinking bottle. My friends and I hung out for a little while using the con's luggage storeroom as to dump our bags. We're checking out if our room is ready and finding out it still wasn't. At this point, we decided to head out. They had some cheeky Nandos, and they didn't look at much of Birmingham last year, but it's a really nice city to spend time in with others. Friday, the convention began with breakfast. It was a highlight of last year. All you can eat, cooked egg, sausage, bacon. They got the full fucking
English.
The full English breakfast.
Yes.
They have beans and toast flavored water. All were included in the con price and a standard, huh? Needless to say, I didn't need lunch at all during the con with the amount I ate. A special one for, they had a special dining room for furries. The hotel was filling up. And he spent the whole con catching up people who wanted to say hi, and was absolutely floored how many of them had nice things to say about my writing, but were quick to say, wait, the writer? When I introduced myself. You mean you do things besides write massive missives to Notcast? Opening ceremonies were interesting. If there was a weak point at the convention for me, this was it. Rather than introducing the staff and guests in honor live on stage, they showed a video of the con staff doing a pre-con meeting, which was clearly supposed to be comedic, but fell rather flat with lots of awkward pauses and jokes that didn't pay off. It was followed by a rather spectacular light show on the main stage to kick off the Carnival of the Night theme, and I can't help but feel if they had just started with that and simply had the conjurer come out dressed as a ringmaster or something similar, the crowd would have eaten it up. It also felt to me if there weren't very much variety in the choice of guest of honor. Both are fursuiters, one a fursuit maker and an artist, and the other was the original founder of Fur Affinity.
Wow.
A lot fewer panels and appearances than those who attended last year, which makes me wonder if the con wasn't sure what to do with them, or if they just weren't as enthusiastic about participating. Of course, these are just my opinions. As someone who didn't interact with either one throughout the entire convention.
I wonder if the original FA founder did a panel of, like, why I hate Dragoneer.
It's like, why Fur Affinity is a trash fire. Part one of 375. That evening, I was invited to a room party where he had an N64, Mario Kart, and lots of booze. He drank more than Scotch, and also had bourbon. There was Carlton Bank stickers for whatever reason. Saturday brought lots more convention activities with it, panels and gatherings, had story commission piece going into the art show with 100% of the winning bid going to charity, and it was in place in the adult section beside a delightful picture of two feline ladies sharing a dildo. Yay! By the time I went in during the morning, there was already bids on it, and I placed several bids of my own. The quality of submissions in the art show were amazing, and very few submitters were stingy with the percentage donated to the charity. I was like, are you making hand gestures? I was reading this and I looked up and you're moving your hands around, Shiva. No, you're playing with a rubber band.
You lost me back at the word bourbon.
Bourbon. So speaking of the charity this year, Confuzzle was supporting Prickles Hedgehog Rescue.
Okay.
That's a fucking adorable name for a hedgehog.
Wasn't aware that the hedgehog was in steep decline, but apparently the numbers have dropped worryingly all over the last decades. Goddamn Eggman. It's a Sonic the Hedgehog joke, Shiva, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
The sanctuary rehabilitates injured hedgehogs, and to do so obviously requires manpower, not to mention specialist facilities to house the hedgehogs, food, bedding, medicine, calcium emeralds, rings. A good cause, even if the people visiting the convention on behalf of the charity were a little overzealous with shaking the buckets of change in people's faces trying to get donations. If you don't give us change, this hedgehog will die. He has no rings. If he touches this robot, he will fall off the stage. Oh, God, if they had the fucking running out of air music going for Sonic 2. Dun, 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 dun. And then, like, if they went long enough, they played the noise when you run out of air.
And there goes the hedgehog.
That hedgehog just died. You didn't give us coins or rings or anything, you fuckers. Give us emeralds. We need chaos emeralds.
You mean the chaos emeralds? Obama chuckled.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Where are the rest of it? As I'm, like, fucking really just hacking this up. Through Saturday, caught up more people, brought in several pin badges in the dealer's den to add to my growing collection, and a bottle opener came with a bunny on it. Yay! Let's see.
Man, Jesus is really going down this rabbit hole, isn't he?
Yep, he's all about the rabbit hole now.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a sad lack of free books available on a couple comics, and there was a small matter of me co-running my first panel as it ran alongside Uncle Kage's story hour. I was terrified that absolutely no one was going to show up. But we actually managed to fill out the room we were in rather nicely as Kendra Husketeer and a very nervous rabbit discussed and shared her opinions on what to do with the story once you finish writing the first draft. Well, then you continue it. So you get to your final draft. Then you throw that motherfucker down a well. And then you publish. Fun fact, running a panel may be terrifying, but it's also really awesome when you have two experienced writers and presenters of content to keep you on message. That evening, myself and girlfriend went out for dinner, and then drinking and fucking in slumber. Sunday was more panels, having fun with that. In the art auction was held, where the pieces that had been gathering enough interest in the charity auction show were sold live on stage, included a wonderful piece featuring our drunk skunk, my friend Tarzara, which sold for £150, which is like 10 million US, and several 8-foot tall theater wall hangings featuring Nick, Judy, Flash, and other characters from Zootopia. Did you buy that, Jeeves? I really hope you did, or are you just a casual? I actually gave up my ticket to see Zootopia for the fourth time in order to attend the art auction, as it was a real blast this year. Last year with Flair's Auctioneers and Runners really working up.
That's the okay. Crowd. Zootopia still got the money from the ticket purchase, so you helped in pushing it over $1 billion.
Good job. Give yourself a pat on the back. This year was even funnier than the last, with several bids being made by those who were supposed to be selling the items as their partners yelled at them from the crowd for spending several $100 more than they'd budgeted. The charitable generosity continued with an artist, Davu, offering to draw an extra commission for the winner of any of her pieces. Needless to say, they sold for a lot as they were already spectacular in their own right, each one featuring the silhouette of an animal filled in with a beautiful scene of a sunset, forest, sunset, or skiscape. Went to TJ Fridays, went to the Art of Erotic Storytelling panel, more pleasant because they were drunk. I was given some great advice by Kendra on how to approach a couple pieces I have been avoiding starting in recent times, and I'll be doing my best to ensure I don't let the fear of people getting turned off or offended by my attempts at tackling non-traditional relationships stop me from trying to tell what I believe are interesting and meaningful stories. You know, I really look forward to that story suggestion that I threw his way.
Yes.
Yeah. Does it involve ponies?
No.
No.
Does it involve bunnies?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It was.
He's moved on from that whole pony thing.
Yeah. No pony nonsense. We're past that now. That's passé.
Totally. Will not be doing anything about that later in the year.
So nothing for Fluttershy at all.
Hmm? Me? Oh, no, no. I would totally fuck Fluttershy. Just going on record.
And the bunny.
But I would also fuck the bunny, yes.
Let's see. Monday had panel. It was fun. Tuesday, days of goodbyes. Meeting the last two people who said they wanted to say hi in person. And third, he only realized we were both at the same con an hour before I left. Attending closing ceremonies, which was head and shoulders above the opening ceremony and quality entertainment. There was a somber beginning as they held a memorial for a past attendee who had lost his life to terminal cancer during the con. But rather than a silence on his behalf, the whole convention hall cheered and clapped for him. Well, they raised £14,300 for the Prickles Hedgehog Rescue. That's cool.
Ooh. That should save a lot of hedgehogs.
Last two paragraphs.
Maybe they won't have to hog the hedge so much. Yep. And we can
all
buy them more.
One meme, one face, and become a legend. I mentioned his presence once, but he was always there in every group, in every party, every panel. Didn't go unmentioned, if not presented in one of the literal hundreds of stickers that appeared around the hotel. And one artist, Garnetta, decided to crown the glory of Carlton Con 2016 by drawing a fully detailed traditional media canvas portrait of the great man himself, which was sold live on stage by Matt Lyon for an extra £200 for the charity. With roughly 1,400 people and over £14,500 raised, that means on average each attendee donated over 100. That's 10, not 100. Through charity auction bids, donated over £100. And I'm like, no, that'd be 140,000. The charity dealers' dinner choosing to give
directly. Dumb bunnies can't do math.
But they're good at multiplying. They're supposed to be good at multiplying.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. They're not dividing.
I mean, next thing you know, you're going to start calling them cute. That's not cool. This is one of the many reasons I'm so proud to be part of this fandom, come whatever drama may. And thus, my marathon Contaport comes to a close. Some people said to me I shouldn't get my hopes up with no contest ever as much fun as your first. That couldn't have been further from the truth, and hope next year I get a chance to prove them wrong again in 2017. It's the 10th year of Confuzzled, and the closing ceremonies foretold that we're going to be reliving all the greatest hits. It's going to be a most excellent adventure. Thanks for reading. My deepest apologies to the vocal cords, whoever got stuck with this one. Smiley face, ever enthusiastic. Jeeves the Bunny from Scotland. All right, well, there's only two more emails, so I don't have to read anymore. I can rest my voice. Fuzz, actual...
Oh, so Carlton Banks is the character on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Okay.
The straight-laced cousin.
Okay.
Cousin.
Because he moved with his uncle and auntie. Yeah.
Moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air.
Okay, so we went all the way around. Okay, so it's back to me. Okay.
It's you. Fuzzy.
It's a relationship question.
Bourbon.
Okay. Dear Dotcast, hope you all are doing well. I have a question about something that has been on my mind for a while. I am currently dating this girl, Melanie, and we have been dating for just over 1.5 years now. We have known each other for a total of 4 years, we're friends prior to dating. My question is, I am bi, but do not know how to tell her or explain to her that side of me. Mm. She was raised in a rather religious background where sex before marriage was a sin, which changed throughout college.
Remember, in the butt doesn't count.
There are loopholes, two of them to be precise. But she still holds on to some of that religious background. So what I'm asking is, how do I explain to my girlfriend that I am bi, but only have romantic feelings for her? Considering she has not had the most liberal upbringing, and I am sure her parents would probably have a bit of a heart attack if they found out. Also, I plan to propose to her next June, so it's been weighing in my mind whether to tell her something that probably won't influence our relationship in the long run, or to tell her all about me and hope she doesn't reject it. Sincerely, Connor. P.S. Love your podcast and have been listening to it since near the beginning. Thanks for any help, and you have been a help so far just based on the advice you have given others.
Okay, so, and this isn't just about being bi. This is about whatever deep, dark something or other that makes you part of you. Something that you consider indelible to your being. Are you going to be okay being with someone for the rest of your life and having to either hide this or repress it or ignore it or whatever else? Because you're kind of, that's what you're, if you don't tell her about it, then that's your alternative.
Yeah, that's not fun. That's not a good idea.
No.
So whether, you're bi or whatever, you kind of got to ask yourself, like, okay, if I don't tell her, am I okay not telling her for forever? Am I okay marrying her and then telling her later on, and hopefully it won't be a deal breaker then?
Bad idea.
If you're going to bring up a potential deal breaker before that proposal is probably the time.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, otherwise that or you're going to, yeah.
You're in for a bad time if you don't, actually.
Now, if you're okay basically ignoring the dude-loving side of yourself, or because some people are bi, but they're not that bi, and it's not a huge deal if that part of their personality or drive or the ability to go, oh, he's hot when watching a movie, just doesn't come up. And some people, it's a big part of themselves, and it sounds like it's kind of a big thing to you that you're even having this qualm.
Yeah, because I think you most definitely need to tell her, and you should probably do it in the near term. I mean, yes, you say that she grew up religious and has a conservative upbringing, and her parents might have a heart attack. That's why you need to tell her, if it's a deal breaker, you are much better prepared to figure it out now than when you're, legally obligated to one another, and then she has your ass in a sling for the next 20 years.
I mean, imagine this. You were married to her, and a couple of years go down the line, and she drops something in your lap that you can't swallow, you can't deal with. And it just goes against your particular self, and you can't deal with this. Would you be happy if you were in, you've been married for X amount of years, and she'd been hiding it for you, and now you're married, and she's dropped this in your lap? Just kind of put it on the other side. She might be cool with it. She might take a while to come around to it. But it's not fair to hide some kind of deal breaker.
That, and one of the biggest skill sets, really, to develop in a marriage or long-term partnership of any sort is both communication and accepting not necessarily things you dislike, but even just things you weren't expecting about the other person. And this is kind of a situation where this will be getting a jump on that.
Also, conflict resolution and compromise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because both of those you have to be good at.
You know, it's one of those things like, all right, honey, look, I'm bi. And if a few years down the road we get a little kinky and we say, hey, why don't we add a third? And it turns out it's a dude. I'm cool with it, honey.
Or, or even if you never particularly want to act on it, there's something fun about being able to share with your significant other. I really like that woman's hips.
Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah.
Look at the booty on that. Oh my God.
It's like, oh, you know, like Siam's a breast fan, and we can both kind of look at each other. Did you see that?
Aha, those are great.
Yeah. Look at the fun bags on that hoe sound.
Yeah. Yeah. And just as being a bisexual with the other partners, and it's like me and Sarah, because both we both swing both ways, we can both equally oogle and go, you know, he, she is hot. You know, did you see that waiter? That waiter is really, you know. So yeah, there's a certain amount of funds, even if we're not going to ever go down that path of, you know.
Tag teaming later.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still kind of fun to go, hey, did you see, oh my God. You know, it's kind of equivalent to what girlfriends do. When you go,
Buzz, so, look at her butt.
Look at the fluffy little tail.
Look at the fluffy little tail. Not
But yeah, it's kind of what...
Small buns and I cannot lie.
You know, when you're girls and girlfriends in high school, it's like, oh my God, such and such is so cute, blah, blah, blah. Only you're doing that with your SO.
Yeah.
And you're both kind of mutually oogling. It may go no farther than that, but it can be fun if they're okay with it. So.
Buzz, do you have anything to add?
Not really, no. I pretty much along Shiva's lines, like, yeah, I think you need to be upfront about something that could be a pretty big part of who you are.
Now, how to tell her is a different thing that will widely vary depending upon your specific relationship.
Mm-hmm. But it could be a glass of wine. And
you just unroll this tool bag full of dildos across the dining room table. Be like, honey, there's something I have to tell you. These are not for you.
Apparently, that's show and tell.
Yeah, there's everything from the glass of wine and look, we got to have a talk. I've had something, you know, to a quippy little slip to.
Just be like, you know catch her looking at a poster of Johnny Depp or whatever. Oh, she's like, look, yeah, he's pretty cute.
You know, start slipping in hints here and there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cushion the blow for when you actually do the big reveal.
I'd let him in my rear window.
I have a zero gauge asshole.
Oh, God.
I can't. It's not just a hot dog on how away you can put the entire back.
If she was a furry, be like, you know that Varka guy? Fucking casual. That's a deep fucking cut, guys. If you get that, high five.
I see the videos. You guys have shown me the videos. Yeah. I get that.
Howdy.
I fart and just sort of goes.
Those weren't the wind chimes, honey.
And now I can never look at wind chimes the same way.
Okay. Beyond that. Wow.
I'm so, ignoring us.
my friend here is getting a look into a dark side of me that he hasn't seen.
Oh, he hasn't seen this?
Please.
No.
Oh, God.
He's learning so many things.
Wave to the listeners, audience.
Yeah, he waved, but I'm sure you guys can see that.
I'm sure you knew he wanted to fuck the bunny.
None.
So this last one's for you, Fuzz. Can you any of you recommend any good sci-fi furry comics? Fuzz?
Oh, Havoc Inc. It's not currently in publication, but
ooh, that, I do love that one.
That would be my favorite, definitely. Yeah,
where I had a few copies and I realized, oh, Chester's a dude.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to be okay.
Damn, that retail's hot. That's a dude. Damn, that retail's hot.
Yep. Chester made me half gay on my mother's side. Anyway.
You didn't get better. You went full gay, but you're still half gay.
Yes. That's definitely one.
I can't really. I mean, yeah, if you want to dig up, like, albedo.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's really a lot of, like, ongoing narrative-based sci-fi.
There's
like Barsk, but it's a book.
There's some fantasy. There's a lot of slice of life, but not a lot of sci-fi.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that one?
There's The Furry Future, which First Planet publishes for Planet.com.
but he's looking thank you for shilling. But he's looking for comics.
Yeah, and I really can't think of any, like, even the web comics that I know of are fantasy.
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of sci-fi web comics that are kind of furry adjacent, but it's not quite the same thing.
Like Freefall.
Yeah.
Are any of Tiffany Ross's sci-fi?
Yes. They're
depending
very
on how exactly like you Alien define Dice furry, there's always Schlock the Mercenary.
A lot of hers are alien / space / futuristic other culture.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much hard sci-fi. There's not a lot of hard sci-fi. Partly,
which is what gets me because I'm always more Ursula K. Le Guin than Arthur C. Clarke.
I always wonder if part of the reason why sci-fi isn't drawn as much is because
spaceships are hard.
Yeah. There's a lot of hard angles. There's a lot of... You pretty much have to be able to draw schematics.
Yeah.
To draw...
I'm like, why does your ship look different in this episode? It's the fucking heart of gold. Shut up.
Yeah.
It looks like a tennis shoe today.
You basically have to be able to draw a ship and or station, be able to reliably be able to draw the same segments and the bridge and everything else the same way from every angle.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be kind of... hard.
It's like we pilot our ship from inside a tank of goo.
I'm looking through FA posts from the last little bit here because I know this artist posted a comic page not too long ago that's like a
that would actually be an excellent premise / excuse.
Straight up furry sci-fi. Mm-hmm.
Psychically sensitive ship appears however the pilot thinks it looks like.
That makes sense.
Like, it's like a ship covered in psychic paper.
So if the new pilot doesn't have a very good visual imagination, it's all blurry.
Or if someone that gets a really gets distracted, someone reaches in and gives the pilot a hand job, it just becomes a fucking space boner.
Or you're walking down, it's like, wait, didn't this go that way? I don't know. Which way was it to the bridge again?
Oh, God. Internally
just think real hard.
Yeah.
It kind of becomes, what's that Harry Potter room? The room of requirements? Room
requirements, yes.
Only on a spaceship level?
Yeah.
Then, I'm trying to think of... I really can't think of any, like, furry sci-fi
now,
comics.
I can think of, like, novels that have furry elements, but not, you know... Not comics.
Because, I mean, if you're looking for, I wouldn't say hard sci-fi, I mean, there's Summer Hill, which I did the audiobook for. You can get it at forplanet.com or Bad Dog Books.
Shell.
I can subscribe.
Barsk, which I think Fuzz has copies of, at forplanet.com. Yes. Furry Future, which is furry futurism and has a mouse in a spaceship on the cover. So I'm assuming it's sci-fi.
It is sci-fi, yes. Forplanet.com.
What? I know you have more than that, though.
Oh, yeah. But I'm trying
but for
to
a
find this damn
medium?
Furry comic that is uploaded to FA, and
you're like, just drawing a blank.
Yeah, like I don't remember the fucking name of it, and
I'm waiting for that thing to snap
or fly.
Yeah, because I've been playing with it for weeks, also.
Huh?
The rubber band.
It's been sitting on the table and he's just been fucking with it.
Oh, am I interrupting your fiddle?
Just, I like to play in my hand. It's a condom that nobody can use anymore because we've just been stretching it out. Yeah. Would critical success count as sci-fi?
There's, I don't know.
There's goo in it. Well, critical success is the one by Ace that is like the cute little guy getting fucked by the goo monsters.
Oh, in their no, role-playing session. That's fantasy.
That's fantasy. Yeah, damn it.
Though that is a good series.
Yeah, I like that artist a lot.
Yes, yes. They did good stuff.
Fuck the twink.
Have you seen is like Mantis' no, stuff? Yes.
Now if you make the twink, I don't usually.
I'm not usually into bug people. I love her aesthetic.
Yes, the aesthetic in general is beautiful and works very, very well for a chitinous carapace.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, do they have bug boobs?
Kinda.
Yeah, kinda. The carapaces do tend to be domed.
White Mantis, I pointed you her way a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you ever looked at it.
Oh, no.
Bug boobs.
No, it's a Japanese like mantis.
Bird boobs.
Oh.
Chicken breasts.
It's got a very Japanese traditional aesthetic.
Yes.
But most of the characters are bugs in one form or another. Main character is a orchid mantis. Okay. And she's really pretty.
Okay. Maybe it's been so long and I faded I can't find it. But yeah, so Havoc Inc., that's what I've got, in like 8 million novels, which is, and anthologies.
Oh, there's I sense totally a gap read. To be filled. I do not have the art chops to fill
there
it.
There is that one, that one anthology that I edited and then the files got eaten and didn't get to use the material and had to redo them. That fucking old-ass furry story.
Anthropomorphic also, Century.
Yeah, which featured stuff from like the 1950s on.
Oh, no. The first one is from like 1909.
Oh, jeez. Nice.
Yeah. It was a bunch of old science fiction that featured anthropomorphic critters.
Yep.
Which is where we started.
Yep.
Yep.
Man, that still pisses me off about that project.
Yeah, just one of those things. So, I mean, like,
that was around the time I had a hard drive crash and I lost a bunch of files.
Anthropomorphic Century, that was that one. The Vimana Incident is sci-fi for a future. Anthropomorphic Aliens, that may have been that one, actually. Theta is a sci-fi book. Huvec is sci-fi. I mean, these are all books. There's plenty of books. All Alone in the Night, Otters in Space, Summerhill, Freedom City, Otters in Space 2, Electric Boogaloo, Beautiful World, Found One Apocalypse. But yeah, if you're looking for comics, I can't help you as much.
So
there's that.
Listeners, if you know free sci-fi comics, write in, let us know. Because we've talked about a lot of books, but we're kind of like drawing blanks comics. On the comics.
And neither of them current.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, I mean, Havoc Inc. got, what, 8 episodes in, 8 issues in, and then stopped.
Yeah.
It didn't even, like, finish a story.
They did several arcs, but they were like, yeah, it was kind of in the middle of another
one. They have to rescue their adopted cheetah girl daughter from the ninjas.
Yes. Other non-current things, there's always Space Usagi.
Well, at this point, I think we're at the end of the show.
Probably.
All right. Well, as always, guys, you can email us at notcast@foxeffers.com. You can send asks our way via Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com. Follow us on Twitter at Notcast. That's where most of our stuff gets posted. Because I think you manage it too a little bit, Fuzz.
Well, the Tumblr?
No, the Twitter.
The Twitter? Yeah.
And so you'll see us post about things from time to time. It's not always just us announcing shows and whatever. You can follow me at Saverin Drake on Twitter. You can find me on YouTube by searching the same thing. Like and subscribe!
You can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. I'm also Fuzzwolf on Tumblr, FA, everywhere else. Buy my books at forplanet.com and ebooks at baddogbooks.com.
Shill.com.
Take a shot every time someone said .com this episode.
Please don't, you'll die.
com.com.
And on Twitter, I'm Chimera, Khymaera, because Shiva is taken everywhere, always.
And I am Halfwit Genius on Twitter, and except when I'm not, because I'm not paying attention to my Twitter.
Yeah, you know.
Now, do you have the underscore between Halfwit and Genius?
Yes, Halfwit underscore Genius.
But, you know, if you don't use Twitter, not a big deal.
I've been being bad about checking it lately. I just kind of log in and go,
I post scroll. Things that people will, like, here's a cute picture. Here is a YouTube video that I did. I'm not like, let's have a long, drawn-out discussion, 140 characters at a time, about gun control in America. Like, I saw someone doing, and I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
It's Twitter.
I like
it's
to do Twitter. That, but not on Twitter.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of Judy's butt.
Yep. It's like, what can I get away with on this account? What can I get away with on this account? And here's my AD where I'm just posting porn.
Where your mom can't see it. What's
the weirdest thing I can accomplish in 140 characters?
Also, we do have a Patreon. Patreon.com/notcast. If you like the show, you know, you can still buy dongs if you want. But if you want to toss a buck or two our way each month, it helps us do stuff. And our next big goal for the show is basically going to save up so we can go to RMFC next year.
I thought you were going to go to BLFC.
Yeah, I thought BLFC.
BLFC. Fuck.
Wait. All RMFC. These letters.
I'm really glad Fiesta doesn't have a fourth fucking letter in its.
Yeah. So we can go to RMFC and get Rocky Mountain High, or we can go to BLFC and have hookers and blackjack.
I don't know. They both have serious perks.
I know.
We should totally go to BLFC and take a road trip out to one of the brothels and live podcast it.
Oh, God. I saw the frown brewing on Saffron's.
Saffron's really humping away there, so he's not going to be able to contribute much to this email. The way
squishing is him, he'll be done soon.
You know, the prostitute is he's currently saying, Judy, I love you, Judy, I love you. She's wearing a little bunny tail. It's like, oh, it's so cute.
Frowny face.
And yet smiling too. Because you can't help but laugh and frown at the same time. It's
that would be absurd.
It's a really weird expression.
Not Kest's first video podcast.
Like, I don't think that, you know, our patrons are very generous, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, if we do go to BLFC, that, you know, prostitutes are also, they're a bit expensive. You know?
They are.
So, we're, you know, that'd be like, that'll be a stretch goal.
Depending on the process,
BLFC with stretch goal.
So many jokes.
Prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when we get a male prostitute and that becomes our stretch goal? To stretch the fennec?
We don't have to spend that much. I mean, we could get an older prostitute to, like, give you a gum job. You're
trying
or something.
Trying to frown, but I'm still laughing. Fuck you guys.
It's such a confliction of emotion on Saverin's face.
So we're going to wrap this up.
Please, before
it gets any worse.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So on that note, good night.
And let's get Saverin a prostitute.
Fine. It's over.
Good night.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more, with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code NOT at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping when you enter offer code NOT. That's KNOT at AdamandEve.com.